Good morning and welcome. It is Friday Eve, otherwise known as Thursday, 7:06. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the Bob Rose Show is available on podcast wherever you normally download your podcast, like Spotify or Apple. Also, you can get it on our actual platform, Audacy, AUDACY. .com. Click on subscribe and you'll never miss a minute of the show, and you don't want to miss out. Coming up at 8:35, we're going to talk to possibly the next governor of the state of Florida, Congressman Byron Donalds. And he's already got the blessing from the Trumpster, from King Trump.
Yes.
King Trump, you have been knighted, sir. You shall step forward.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So we will talk to him. If you miss it, you got the podcast, but don't miss it. That's kind of how it works. Just in case. We've got this immigration issue. It just won't go away. And it's not going to go away for a long time.
We're trying to make them go away.
Got ICE people working hard. Border Patrol working hard. Homeland Security working hard. Tom Homan working hard. AG Bondi. I mean, I believe that they are really trying to go get them. You've got ICE arresting an illegal immigrant wanted in connection to a deadly DUI crash. Are these people all like drunken alcoholics or what?
It sounds like it.
I mean, I'm not picking on anybody other than to say, if you're somewhere illegally and you may or may not have a license to drive, you may or may not have insurance or whatever, and somehow you think, I think I'm going to get drunk tonight, which some people have that feeling, and
sure.
I would either walk or Uber would be my suggestion, but these folks apparently didn't get that memo.
Well, maybe if you've snuck into a country, made it across their borders unnoticed, you don't really think anybody would mess with you.
Oh, in other words, if they'll let a big law like, an immigration type law, like a sovereign border, if they don't really care about that,
yeah. Why
the heck would they care how many shots of tequila I do? Huh.
And, this happens all the time anyway, so, what's the big deal?
Is that wrong to say tequila? Did I somehow
offend someone?
Am I being stereotypical?
No.
ICE arrested illegal immigrant connection DUI crash resulted in the death of a Minneapolis mother. Despite local authorities refusing to honor the suspect's ICE detainers, not once, but twice.
Hmm.
The fatal head-on crash occurred August of 24. The suspect, Adriano Inga, said to have crossed a double yellow line, crashed into another vehicle. Court documents indicate the officers could smell a strong odor of alcohol. This is an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant. His blood alcohol level was 0.172. That is twice the legal limit. In most places, 0.08. 8 plus 8, 16, yeah. A test of the blood sample collected by police 2.5 hours later found that it was 0.141, still well above the legal limit. Charged with vehicular homicide, ICE placed a detainer on Inga for 2 days after the incident. Homeland Security, the Hennepin County Jail, refused to honor the detainer, and he was released without notification to ICE on August 6th, 2024. All right. Arrested again May 10th of 25 on an outstanding warrant for vehicular homicide and placed on a detainer the same day, yet he was released again on May 13th with no notification to ICE.
Wow.
ICE finally caught up with him and arrested him once and for all on May the 16th. Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin said in a statement that ICE was able to successfully arrest the criminal illegal alien despite a lack of cooperation from local Minnesota authorities. Who's the governor up there in Minnesota? Is that Governor Knucklehead?
Yeah, that's a guy.
Governor Knucklehead.
Yeah,
And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a knucklehead if you think it's okay to be a sanctuary state.
Yeah.
This criminal illegal alien has been evading prosecution for vehicular homicide that resulted in the death of a Minnesota mom, Victoria Eileen Harwell. So, yeah, this still continues on to this day where they're not getting cooperation. You know, Greg, you weren't here yesterday. One of the stories is Ocala police, some folks at a meeting were not happy because OPD signed an agreement, basically, to work with the federal authorities. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, you know, tracking down illegals.
It should.
Well, you know, and our buddy there that's the police chief and mm-hmm. stuff, he tried to explain to everybody. He goes, I'm not going to be raiding farms or schools right. or job sites.
Right.
That's not, you know, the folks that they're looking for.
Point is they're going to cooperate, and when they know yeah. there's somebody that they're after, I mean, that makes sense. Why would you not?
Why would you not? And then, okay, and then the one time you're like, yeah, I don't really want them to go there. I don't really don't want them to do that. Oh, really? Well, the one guy they were looking for, guess what? He raped your granddaughter, right? I mean, I don't wish that on anybody, but basically that's what you're doing. You're like, oh, the hell with it. Roll the dice.
Uh-huh.
You know, so many of these people are nice and, you know, well, we don't want to see them, you know, taken out of the country. Well, occasionally you're going to get some of these so-called nice people caught up mm-hmm. in all of that, but I think it's going to be pretty rare. But they still came in illegally.
Right.
So it's hard for you to kind of justify that, but you just need to know and accept that that's not the kind of people they're looking for. They're looking for the bad guys.
And this whole scenario, it's kind of like the defund police people are the first ones that call a cop when they need one.
Absolutely.
Let something happen to your family, and you're going to go, well, they shouldn't have even been in our country. Yeah, that's the point.
Mm.
Yeah.
You like food.
Oh, yeah.
I like food.
Oh, yeah.
You ready for crazy food?
I'm not sure I even know what crazy food is.
It's well, they call it Crazy Foods Fundraiser on Memorial Day weekend. So you've got several participating restaurants. Oh. Crazy Cucumber. Maybe that's where they get the name.
Oh, okay.
Horse and Hounds and Swampies are all going to set up what's known as missing man tables on display.
Oh, that's cool.
To receive donations. So this will be yeah. over Memorial Day weekend, Saturday through Monday. And this the money will go to support the Friends of the Marion County Veterans Memorial Park Foundation. And all donations received will be matched by the three participating restaurants. Wow. That's pretty strong. And that's great. And Friends of Marion County Veterans Memorial Park continues to do good work. And you can show your support by visiting one of those locations, Crazy Cucumber, Horse and Hounds, and Swampies. And the missing man tables will be on display and receiving donations. I just think that Marion County has done an extremely good job, mm-hmm. you know, in all things dealing with their veterans. You know, is it perfect? Does the ball ever get dropped? Of course. I mean, we live in the real world. But by and large, I got to say, I think they have some good things going on. And veterans should be and are, I think, you know, looked out for and taken care of.
I've seen restaurants do this, and I've seen some of the big box stores actually do that with a parking place.
Oh.
And I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Now, is that just to recognize it? Because yeah. this is to recognize and
yeah,
the spot for donations.
This steps up a little more, so yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome to see.
In case you're not familiar, Friends of Marion County Veterans Park, they're a 501c3 nonprofit, all-volunteer staff foundation dedicated to creating and nurturing a majestic setting, honoring veterans and their families for their respective services and sacrifices made on behalf of the United States of America, while fostering an educational venue to stimulate current and future generations of Marion County and beyond. So, yes, they are doing good work. The Memorial Day weekend fundraiser. I guess Crazy Foods, maybe that's kind of the parent company of these locations. But, yep, the Crazy Cucumber.
What a name.
Mm-hmm. I've been there before. It's good. Horse really? And Hounds, been there.
I've been there.
Been
yeah.
there. Swampies, been there.
Never been there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check it out.
That's in Dunellen.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
Especially,
thanks, Johnny.
There you go.
716 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it's your turn next. Call in now. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. But call in and air it out. Get it off your chest. Ready for what's bugging you? 877-975-9825. Call now, please. Good morning and welcome. It is time for What's Bugging You? It's 7:21. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it is your turn to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. 877-975-9825. Call now. If you don't get through right away, please try us back. Let's go to Biz. What's bugging you?
I have a large SUV. And the other day, 2 weeks ago, I get a check engine light. So I take it into the dealer. The car is just out of warranty. So they charge me $260 for a diagnosis fee, then $120 labor for a fumes detected light. So I pick it up $400 later. I drive it home. No light. A week later, the light comes on again.
Oh.
I stop in at the cheap parts store where they scan it for free. The guy goes, by any chance, did you fill up? Would you leave your car running? I'm like, well, yeah, it's hot out. He goes, oh, well, that's what that is. He clears the code, no more light.
Oh, that's irritating.
My goodness.
That would bug me big time.
There's nothing more irritating than leaving after having your car serviced and the check engine light wouldn't be on right then, because that'd be U-turn time.
Sure.
But it'd be just a few miles down the road, far enough to where you're not willing to return. You're like, that you say all kinds of words that I could not say, and I wouldn't want my mom to hear, but yeah.
Oh, but that is frustrating. Oh. But it turns out to be nothing.
Well, because, what happens while your check engine light is on, and you go, I'm not going to pay attention to that, and you keep driving, and then something else goes wrong, and you're... But you wouldn't know it because the check engine light's already on. Anyway, Tony, what's bugging you?
So what's bugging me, the silence from the media regarding yesterday's congressional hearing of the COVID-19 vaccine. So it was proven in explosive detail that the COVID-19 vaccine causes myocarditis, it causes birth defects, and a host of other abnormalities, just like Dr. John has been coming on here, and you guys have been preaching this, so thank you for the truth. But it's just like the whole thing with the COVID-19. If there's no accountability for this, people are suffering. I personally know people who've been affected by the COVID-19, a couple of family members and close friends, and that virus, or that vaccine, I'm sorry, is so deadly. And thank God that at least yesterday it came out in Congress, and that the Biden administration knew about this. That's what Johnson says. They knew about this and deliberately kept it from the public. So this is the biggest scandal, I think, that's hit. And I hope to God Pam Bondi and Trump will take the task and get these people arrested. They need to go to jail for crimes against humanity. Thank you.
Let's go to Pete. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Flag football. The NFL and the Olympic Committee is trying to drum up interest in a flag football competition at the Olympics. Now, I understand this is a marketing thing by the NFL. They want to show more people around the world and what American football looks like and yada, yada, yada. First of all, flag football is a lot of fun. We all played it in high school during gym class, and people still play it now as adults. There's leagues. But it's not risen to the height of the Olympics games. It's just another stupid way for the NFL to get some more money and some more TV exposure, and they're going to pick one guy from each team to play. What kind of patchwork team is that going to be? Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, wow. I was interested that they gave their blessing to it, number one, but yes, to get any kind of exposure, maybe that's what's behind it on a worldwide basis. It's what they want. Maybe it's also a little peek into the future of maybe where the game is headed to eventually be more tag than tackle.
More of a kindler, gentler football?
Yep.
Okay.
877-975-9825. And let's go to Paul. What's bugging you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's bugging me is for years, right-wing media breathlessly predicted, teased that any minute now, the POTUS 46's crime family would be unearthed, and it was headed by a guy who apparently was simultaneously drooling into his oatmeal and using an auto pen to order groceries. Now, POTUS 47 creates an imaginary coin that puts his face on it, and anybody who buys that coin is going to put money into his pocket, and the people that buy the most get to have dinner with him, and the people that buy the most of it get a personal tour of the White House from the POTUS. And not a peep from right-wing media.
Because I didn't know about it. I'd share it with you. But as far as fundraising goes, that's absolutely nothing new. They've been going on and kind of selling the Lincoln bedroom experience, if you will, pretty much right after Lincoln didn't live there anymore.
Pretty much,
and,
yeah.
And that's not saying it's okay, but I didn't know there was a story there. Is he literally selling a coin?
But even if that is the case, that's something that he's doing up front in front of the world, as opposed to the Biden crime family, which basically was, you know, under the table money from China and everybody else. It's, you can't really put the two together.
Well, I understand the frustration
that we have not.
Goes to the whole COVID thing. It goes to everything. It goes to open borders. You know, why hasn't somebody been forced to do a perp walk? Nobody is held accountable or responsible these days. I guess you get to a certain order and you have, you know, plausible deniability or whatever, and nothing ever happens. And as long as people aren't punished for these heinous, treasonous crimes,
agreed.
It won't end anytime soon, unfortunately. Yeah. Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob McGregor. What's bugging me is the increasing creativity of these coyote smugglers of illegal aliens. It's like your Hay story. Just yesterday on YouTube, I saw a video where a truck was carrying about 200 or 300 4x4s, about 12 feet in length, and deep inside there was two illegal aliens. And then another video covered a box truck carrying an antique car. And by the time the police unscrewed about 30 screws, there was 10 illegal aliens behind this, front border. So
wow.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's the creativity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's bugging a lot of people. 728 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up, we are going to talk to Byron Donalds, Congressman Byron Donalds, a little over an hour from now. So stick around. News Talk 97.3, The Sky. I tried to rope Greg in for a James Comey moment, but he wouldn't pull out his camera. As I had five Brazil nuts lined up on my planter's plastic lid, and I thought, I was just walking into the studio, and I noticed them there.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, is that a statement? That guy's such an idiot, isn't he?
He's a mess.
God. Rubs me the wrong way. Anyway,
we always think of Donna Brazile because she's a Brazil nut if there ever was one.
Indeed.
Big time.
Absolutely.
She just cray-cray, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
As the kids say.
Okay, we better move on.
Oh, though you should have done that at the beginning, but that's another story.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, it's 7:35, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning and welcome. Happy Thursday. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we had referred to Lincoln a little bit earlier as bedroom, and, you know, that has been a source of fundraisers for going back a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But Lincoln artifacts apparently are also big fundraisers. Now, it's kind of sad in a way. Springfield, Illinois was the home, the birthplace, where Abraham Lincoln was a child. So on display, they've had, you know, a lot of Lincoln paraphernalia, for lack of a better term, artifacts. And these were supposed to be exhibited forever. But apparently there was some kind of falling out. So these artifacts associated with Lincoln were on auction yesterday, separated from a collection that was intended to be available for public display forever, but wound up in the middle of an interagency feud amid a lingering $8 million debt, which is sad. What's the, you know, the mismanagement there? The blood-stained leather gloves that were in Lincoln's pocket the night that he was assassinated was among 144 items up for bid. 136 out of 144 sold. They were auctioned to pay off the remainder of a two-decade-old loan that the Lincoln Presidential Foundation used to buy a one-of-a-kind cluster of Lincoln artifacts from a California collector. Yeah. 2 decades? You didn't pay the debt? That's not cool.
No.
But listen to this. It raised $7.9 million, which is good, but you got to remember what they say the final figures were. There's 28% fee for the auction house and for administrative costs, so almost a third of it, yeah. But the gloves, what do you think the gloves brought in?
Had to be big bucks. Had to be.
$1.52 million.
Wow.
That includes the premium, you know. But
still, but think about it. It's Lincoln. I mean, how iconic do you get?
Not to be a smart aleck, but how many Lincolns could I buy for $1.52 million? I could get all of the marks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
you
6.
Could. 7 and 8, yeah. You could.
I could get pretty much a model of
all of
everything
them.
They've made.
Pretty much.
But, I mean, not every year, just one year.
The fact that they were in his pocket when he got shot, that's just a moment in history, you know.
And they're bloodstained.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's... That's even
now. So it's super rare if you're really a big like Lincoln fanatic. That I could see somebody paying that.
Sure.
But then what do you do? Is that going to be in like your private collection when people are invited to your estate?
Well, if you've got people who can afford and do buy those kinds of things, would. They
my point is, it's sad that it wouldn't be on display for the general public.
Like loan them to a museum kind of thing.
Exactly.
You get your little plaque of who owns them.
That may happen.
Yeah.
That may happen. But also, 2 handkerchiefs, you know? What do you think that went for?
See, I think they would go for less because the gloves are like more of a personal item and they fit him. So I would think that the handkerchiefs...
What if there's a couple of boogies in the handkerchiefs? Does that raise the value or lower it?
Wow.
Too soon?
It's not even Friday yet. Yes.
Too soon by
yes,
one
it
day.
Is. Yeah.
$826,000.
Still good bucks.
For 2 handkerchiefs.
That's still a lot of money.
Yep. Yeah. What about this? Now, this would be very cool.
Okay.
A wanted poster featuring photos of 3 suspects in the assassination conspiracy led by John Wilkes Booth. So, photos on a wanted poster.
I'm surprised
from
they
back then in the 1860s.
Surprised they even still exist.
Sold for for more than my Rambo poster.
Okay, yeah,
$762,500.
Wow.
They estimated, this will probably go for about $120,000. That's what they thought.
Serious?
Yes, that was the estimate.
Wow, were they wrong?
That's what they thought the market was.
Sure, somebody still got some money to spend for cool stuff.
Yeah.
Historical stuff.
Earliest known sample of the 16th president's handwriting from a notebook in 1824 fetched over $500,000.
Wow. But I guess Lincoln's big, though. I think Lincoln and Washington, you know, those things are going to carry value.
Yeah. Well, the artifacts were supposed to give the library and museum, which was rich in Lincoln-related manuscripts, a boost in what it lacked, the meaty kind of curios that draw tourists. So anyway, hopefully they'll figure out what the whole debt thing is. But yeah, I mean, you talk about a huge piece of history. Anything related to Lincoln is going to be good. I'm hanging on to my... you know, the logs that I had as a kid, they've got to have some value.
They autographed or anything?
No. Nah, I don't think so.
They're not that old. Okay.
They're seasoned, though, by now.
I'll bet you they are if you had them when you were a kid.
Did you play with Lincoln Logs?
I did. I think everybody, every little boy had those.
Hey, not girl. Girls weren't allowed to.
Oh, well, they didn't have to get into construction so much then as they do now. Mm-hmm. Sky traffic alert, still that problem. Marion County, we're looking at Silver Springs Boulevard there at I-75. Had a vehicle crash, and things are really backed up both directions. They're on 40.
One of the big things that happened yesterday. I mean, look, the biggest thing that happened, the Gators were at the White House hanging out with Trump.
That's cool.
That was very cool. Yeah. In fact, he said some nice things.
The team was hot from the very beginning, starting off the year with a 13-game winning streak and roaring to a 27-4 record in the regular season against really, really good competition.
You know who else dropped by just to say yo? Timmy Tebow.
You think he said yo?
Why not?
You know what actually impressed me?
No, he probably said, hey, y'all.
Actually, the thing that I think impressed me the most once when I did see him is watching him introduce himself to people. He's very gentle, very kind, and he would actually, because, you know, everybody knows who he is, but he's figuring out who you are, but he would say, hi, my name's Tim. And it was just kind of like almost sweet how sincere and just honest and just very calming he is with people.
That's when you hit him with a 1-inch punch and you say, toughen up, Tebow. Toughen up.
I'd like to see you try that.
No, because I am a peaceful warrior. And plus, I really like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So, yeah. Plus, my daughter was like this close to marrying him. Well,
and everybody else.
Well,
actually,
she got a picture with him.
Close. It's a start.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance.
No, she's already happily married and has my grandson, and I want that situation to be as stable as possible.
Absolutely.
And not to take anything away from my son-in-law. He is a very great young man.
Sounds like.
And he's as conservative as you and I.
Nice.
Only thing wrong with him?
Yeah.
He came from St. Louis.
Well, that's a
other
plus.
Other than that.
That's a plus right
other
there.
Than that. Other than that, Mr. Lincoln, did you?
Yes. Oh, no. That was Mrs. Lincoln.
Too soon again?
Yeah.
No, if you asked Mr. Lincoln.
You wouldn't get an answer.
No comment. That's when it started for the presidency.
Wow, I had no idea.
I just came up with that. It's pretty sad that I can come up with sick stuff like that.
It doesn't surprise me a bit.
It does surprise you or
it doesn't?
Does
not, no.
Okay. I guess that's a sort of a compliment.
Underhanded, yeah.
President Trump, having fun with the Gator basketball team. That's good. Tim Tebow came by. He's working on bipartisan legislation so that children won't be taking advantage of all that stuff, which he's getting great support. I think it will go through. But Trump also had some awkward moments. And I've got a piece here from Breitbart. And really laying it out there, I think, effectively. Listen to this. President Donald Trump's meeting with South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, which featured a surprise video showing radical politicians calling for the murder of white Afrikaners, was the most important thing to happen to South Africa since apartheid ended.
Wow.
That was the Breitbart News senior editor-at-large Joel Pollack in an interview with Fox. Ramaphosa, who called the 59 Afrikaner refugees cowards for running away to the United States. He didn't do that there in the Oval Office. He did it earlier this month.
As opposed to getting killed?
Yes. Wow. But he was met with harsh reality when he met with Trump at the White House on Wednesday. During the meeting, Trump directed the South African delegation's attention to a television screen playing examples of horrific calls for violence against the country's white minority. So now you know maybe why Trump didn't feel so bad about putting that president on the spot, because that president called people that ran away because they truly feared for their lives cowards.
Wow.
Hmm. But if you're being, you know, slaughtered. Anyway, 7:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The weekend's right around the corner. We'll get into some stuff related to that, including, if you're going to be traveling this weekend, you're not going to be lonely out there. That I can tell you. 97.3 The Sky. Happy Almost Friday. We call it Thursday. Good morning. Welcome. 7:50, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Coming up, Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. Big, beautiful bill. Some legislation that has to do with the Second Amendment and guns tucked in there. Yes. He's going to share with us what that was. Did it make it all the way through the process? Do you know how close the vote was? 215 to 214. One vote.
Wow.
To get the big, beautiful bill pushed through. Now it will be up to the Senate where it should be smooth sailing. But, you know, it is politics. Anything is possible. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Like, great interview with Lewis. And coming up at 8:35, Congressman Byron Donalds. Could be, very well could be, your next governor of Florida.
See, then you can say, oh, yeah, I knew him when he was on the Bob Rose Show.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. We talk to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We've been around for a while.
Yeah.
They were bound to succeed eventually.
We'll take success by association. We'll take that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At least two staffers with the Israeli embassy reportedly shot and killed outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in D.C. You've probably heard about this already, but there was a reporter, Josh Kroschauer, of Jewish Insider, who actually broke the story initially on X. He said there was an event for young Israeli diplomats being held at the D.C. Museum this evening. Two Israeli embassy staff killed, per source familiar with the shooting outside the D.C. Capitol Jewish Museum. One witness claimed that the individual who committed the killing shouted "Free Palestine," reportedly while being escorted out by police. And after the shooting, a guy came inside saying he saw it needed water in a safe space. But he was the alleged perp.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, he could have
very weird
done more damage. But anyway, here's the deal. The suspect has been named. They believe it's the sole suspect in this deadly shooting, identified as Elias Rodriguez, 30, of Chicago, observed pacing outside the Capitol Jewish Museum before the shooting. He allegedly walked into the institution afterwards, saying that he was detained by event security, but not before he yelled, "Free, free Palestine," and then he was arrested. It is not clear whether Rodriguez had an attorney who could comment on his behalf, but obviously this is awful. Hatred and radicalism have no place in the USA. Bibi Netanyahu said security would now be stepped up at Israeli embassies around the world. So anti-Semitism still out there and in this case very violent way. And it's awful. Yeah, we've said this several times, but it's like, yeah, if you really want to get someone on your side for a cause, man, just, you know, find a couple of the most innocent Jewish folks that you can and, you know, literally destroy their physical lives. I wasn't so concerned about the cause, but all of a sudden, free Palestine. Wow. What a thing.
You go shoot people? Yeah, right.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is... I remember when the whole issue, Israeli-Palestinian, when I had to first kind of confront it, if you will, in talk radio decades ago. And I said something along the lines of, which was what my father had said. He said something along the lines of, well, you know, it's kind of tit for tat. You know, the two sides go back and forth. And even delivering the newspaper, you know, in the early 70s when I was just a kid, I remember reading about it. And yeah, the way the media portrayed it is like they're on equal footing and they're both equally violent. That's kind of how it was kind of portrayed to a lot of us. And I mentioned that on the air. Wow. I got some feedback, and it wasn't nasty. It was very helpful in you need to educate yourself on this. You need to understand, you know, the plight of Israel and how they're attacked and the seven-day war and all the things that have gone on. And I got to tell you, yes. So I then went on and educated myself about the issue, and there's no doubt in my mind. It doesn't mean that Israel is perfect in every way. Nope. But you just, I'll put it to you this way. And do you think that if you know, Palestinians stopped throwing rocks, and, you know, there wasn't like a group like Hamas, do you think Israel would just randomly fire rockets into Palestinian territories?
Oh, I think it would totally change everything. But you're always going to have, it seems like, that wish to remove them from the world. So you're going to fight back.
Did you change our lineup?
I did. That's why I'm pointing to it.
Oh. Yeah,
that's why.
So, in other words, Carl Zalek's coming in minutes.
Yes, he is.
He's going to give us the latest and greatest Marion County report.
It's what he does.
All right.
Yeah.
His book report is due in minutes. Stick around. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday.